Hell's Reach by Aaron Dembski Bowden. Read by Jonathan Keeble. Part 1. The Exiled Knight. Prologue. Knight of the Inner Circle. I will die on this world. I cannot tell where this conviction comes from. Whatever birthed it is a mystery to me. And yet the thought clings like a virus, blooming behind my eyes and taking deep root within my mind. It almost feels real enough to spread corruption to the rest of my body, like a true sickness. It will happen soon, within the coming nights of blood and fire. I will draw my last breath, and when my brothers return to the stars, my ashes will be scattered over the priceless earth of this accursed world. Armageddon. Even the name twists my blood until burning oil beats through my veins. I feel anger now, hot and heavy, flowing through my heart and filtering into my limbs like boiling poison. When the sensation, and it is a physical sensation, reaches my fingertips, my hands curl into fists. I do not make them adopt this shape, it simply happens. Fury is as natural to me as breathing. I neither fear nor resent its influence on my actions. I am strong, born only to slay for the Emperor and the Imperium. I am pure, wearing the blackest of the black, trained to serve as a spiritual guide as well as a war leader. I am Wrath incarnate, living only to kill until finally killed. I am a weapon in the eternal crusade to forge humanity's mastership of the stars. Yet strength, purity, and wrath will not be enough. I will die on this world. I will die on Armageddon. Soon my brothers will ask me to consecrate the war that will be my death. The thought plagues me, not because I fear death, but because a futile death is anathema to me. But this is no night to think such things. My lords, masters, and brothers have gathered to honor me. I'm not sure I deserve this, but as with my sick sense of foreboding, this is a thought I keep to myself. I wear the black and glare from behind the skulled visage of the immortal Emperor. It is not for one such as I to show doubt, to show weakness, to show even the whispering edges of blasphemy. In the holiest chamber of our ancient flagship, I lower myself to one knee and bow my head, because this is what is asked of me. The time has come, after a century and a half, and I wish it had not. My mentor, the warrior who was my brother, father, teacher, and master, is dead. After 166 years of his guidance, I am on the edge of inheriting his mantle. These are my thoughts as I kneel before my commanders, this bleak mesh of my master's death and my own yet to come. This is the blackness that festers unspoken. At last, unaware of my secret torments, the High Marshal speaks my name.
Grimaldus,
High Marshal Helbrecht intoned. His voice was a guttural rumble, rendered harsh from yelling orders and battle cries in 100 wars on 100 worlds. Grimaldus did not raise his head. The knight closed his disquietingly gentle eyes, as if this gesture could seal the doubts within his skull.
Yes, my liege.
We have brought you here to honor you, just as you have honored us for so many years.
Grimaldus said nothing, sensing it was not his time to speak. He knew why they were honoring him now, of course, and the knowledge was bitter. Mordred, Grimaldus's mentor, a reclusiarch of the Eternal Crusade, was dead. After the ritual, Grimaldus would take his place. It was an honor he had waited 166 years to receive. A century and a half of wrath, courage, and pain since the Battle of Fire and Blood, when he drew the eye of the revered Mordred, who was already ancient but unbowed, and who saw within the young Grimaldus a burning core of potential. A century and a half since he was inducted into the lowest ranks of the Chaplain Brotherhood, rising through the tears in his master's shadow, knowing that he was being forged in war to replace his aging guardian. Over a century and a half of believing he would not deserve the title when it finally rested upon his shoulders. Now the time had come, and his conviction had not changed.
"We have summoned you," Helbrecht said, "to be judged."
"I have answered the summons," Grimaldus said in the silence of the reclusium. "I submit myself before your judgment, my liege."
Helbrecht wore no armor, but his bulk was barely diminished. Clad in layered robes of bone white and bearing his personal black heraldry, the High Marshal stood in the Temple of Dawn, his hands clutching an ornate helm with all due respect.
"Mordred is dead,"
Helbrecht's voice was a deep murmur.
"Slain by the archenemy. You, Grimaldus, have lost a master. We have all of us lost a brother."
The Temple of Dawn, a museum, a reclusium, a sanctuary of hanging banners from 10,000 years of crusading, briefly came alive as the knights in the shadows intoned their agreement with their liege lord's words. Silence returned, and Grimaldus kept his gaze on the floor.
"We mourn his loss,"
the High Marshal said,
"but honor his wisdom in this, his final order."
"It comes to this," Grimaldus tensed. "Show no weakness, show no doubt."
"Grimaldus, warrior priest of the Eternal Crusade, it was the belief of Reclusiarch Mordred that upon his death you would be worthiest of our brother chaplains to stand in his stead. His final decree, before the returning of his gene seed to the chapter, was that you, of all your brethren, would be the one to rise to the rank of Reclusiarch."
Grimaldus opened his eyes and licked lips that had suddenly turned dry. Slowly he raised his head, facing the High Marshal, seeing Mordred's helm, a grinning steel skull, in the commander's scarred hands.
"Grimaldus,"
Helbrecht spoke again, no hint of emotion colouring his voice.
"You are a veteran in your own right, and once stood as the youngest sword brother in the history of the Black Templars. As a chaplain, your life has been without cowardice or shame, your ferocity and faith without equal. It is my belief, not merely the wish of your force.